Ever feel like you're battling some kind of unseen force? Like temptation's always right there around the corner. Well, today we're diving into James 1:8, 1:16-1:1.
Ooh, good stuff.
It is to uncover some powerful truths about where temptation really comes from and how to tap into a source of strength that maybe you're overlooking.
And our guide for this deep dive is Dr. David Bauer,
Yes.
an expert in what's called inductive Bible study,
Yeah.
which is a fancy way of saying he really knows how to unpack the meaning of scripture and how it's relevant for us.
He does. His lecture notes are chock full of fascinating insights, and our mission today is to distill those for you so you walk away not just understanding the text, but feeling empowered to apply it.
Yeah, and the passage jumps right in with a warning.
Okay.
It says, "Do not be deceived." James is anticipating a common mistake we make, especially when we're going through tough times.
It's easy to point the finger at God, isn't it? To wonder, why he's allowing bad things to happen.
Exactly. And James addresses this head on, saying, "Don't get this twisted. God is not the source of your struggles, your temptations."
Okay, so if not God, then where does this stuff come from? What's Dr. Bauer say about that?
Well, he uses this incredible metaphor to describe God.
Okay.
He calls him Father of Lights,
Hmm.
which is like saying that God is this constant source of goodness, just like the sun consistently radiates light and warmth.
Now that's a powerful image, but I'm curious. The sun does have eclipses, right?
Right?
There are times when its light is locked.
Yeah.
How does that fit in?
That's where it gets really fascinating. Dr. Bauer points out that while the sun and moon and stars, they all have their variations, God's goodness is unchanging. It's unwavering.
So even when we can't see it or feel it,
Yes,
it's still there.
it's still
So it's
there.
like even in our darkest moments, we can hold on to the truth that God's goodness is a constant,
Yes.
never extinguished, never diminished.
Precisely.
Oh, yeah.
And that brings us to the next part of the passage where James introduces something amazing, the word of truth. He describes it as the key to a spiritual rebirth.
No, wait a minute. Rebirth. That's a pretty loaded term.
Yeah.
Is he talking about, becoming a baby again,
Yeah.
starting over from scratch?
Not quite. Think of it more as like a transformation,
Okay.
a renewal from the inside out. And Dr. Bauer emphasizes that this isn't some random occurrence, it's God's intentional gift to us.
And what exactly is this word of truth that has such power? Dr. Bauer doesn't leave us hanging, does he?
He clarifies that it most likely refers to the gospel message, the good news of Jesus Christ.
Okay.
But what's even more interesting is the Greek word used for brought forth in this passage.
Okay.
It's the same word used for childbirth.
Whoa. Okay. So it's not just about reading words on a page or hearing a message.
Right.
It's about something being birthed within us.
Exactly.
That's intense.
It suggests that the word of truth has this power to create something entirely new within us, a new way of seeing the world, a
Okay.
new way of relating to God, a new identity. It's a radical transformation.
So if this word of truth is so powerful, how do we tap into it? How do we make sure it's not just information going in one ear and out the other?
Well, that's where James gets incredibly practical.
Okay.
He lays out some advice on how to live a life that's centered on this word. And the first piece of advice is this: be quick to listen.
Okay, quick to listen to what exactly? Is he talking about sermons? Podcasts like this one?
Well, he's talking about being receptive to the Word of God in all its forms.
Okay.
But here's where Dr. Bauer makes a brilliant connection.
Okay.
He says that being quick to listen to God is directly related to how we listen to other people.
Interesting. So our ability to receive this life-giving word is somehow connected to how well we listen to those around us.
Yes.
I wonder why that is.
Well, think about it. If we're constantly interrupting or judging or formulating our response while someone's talking, are we truly hearing them? Are
Right.
we open to what they have to say?
Good point. It's like we're putting up a wall that prevents us from receiving anything meaningful.
Exactly. And James goes on to say that being quick to listen should also be paired with being slow to speak. There's a wisdom tradition behind this idea that goes way back.
Yeah.
Even the Stoic philosopher Zeno said we have two ears and one mouth for a reason.
To listen twice as much as we talk,
And
right? It
exactly.
seems like a simple concept, but I bet most of us struggle with this,
Oh, yeah.
myself included.
For sure.
Yeah.
And that brings us to the third piece of advice that James ties to this idea of listening well.
Yeah.
Be slow to anger.
Okay, now that one really hits home. I know for me, anger often shuts down my ability to listen and respond with wisdom and grace.
It's a powerful force, isn't it?
It is.
And James recognizes its destructive nature.
Yeah.
He's not saying anger is always wrong, but he's warning us that it can easily derail our efforts to live in alignment with God's righteousness.
So what does that look like practically? How could we cultivate this slow-to-anger approach, especially in a world that feels designed to, like, push our buttons?
That's a great question, and one that we'll dive into further in the next part.
Okay.
But for now, I think it's worth pausing and asking ourselves, where in our lives could we benefit from being quicker to hear, slower to speak, and slower to anger? What kind of transformation might be possible if we started practicing these principles?
That's something for you to ponder as we move on to the next section of this passage.
Yes.
We'll be back in just a moment to unpack even more wisdom from James and Dr. Bauer. Welcome back to our deep dive into James 1.1621. We've been exploring some pretty profound stuff, you know, about temptation and God's unwavering goodness.
Right.
And this whole idea of the word of truth being like a spiritual rebirth.
Yeah.
A chance to kind of become something new.
Yeah, totally. And before the break, we were left with that powerful challenge, right? To become quicker to hear, slower to speak, and slower to anger.
Not exactly easy feats in our fast-paced, often frustrating world, right?
You're telling me. But James doesn't stop there.
Okay.
He goes on to give us this vivid image, he tells us, to put away all filthiness.
Okay. What do you think he means by that? Like, it's not like he's advocating for, like, you know, obsessive cleaning, right?
No, not quite. Dr. Bauer explains that filthiness here is a metaphor.
Okay.
And a pretty powerful one at that.
Mm.
It represents all that junk that clutters up our lives.
Yeah.
Harmful attitudes, actions, those lingering grudges we just can't seem to let go of.
So it's like internal spring cleaning.
Oh. Yeah.
We're getting rid of the things that are preventing the word of truth from taking root and flourishing makes sense.
Exactly. But then James throws in a phrase that seems a bit contradictory. He says we need to receive with meekness the implanted word.
Mm.
How can something be implanted and yet still need to be received?
That is a bit of a head scratcher.
Right.
What's Dr. Bauer's take on this seeming paradox?
Well, he suggests that there's kind of this tension here between God's initiative and our response.
Hmm.
Yes, the word is planted within us. It's a gift freely offered.
Okay.
But we also have a role to play. We need to actively receive it, embrace it, and allow it to take root and grow.
This is not a passive process.
No.
You can't just sit back and expect the word to magically transform us.
Right.
We have to engage with it,
yeah.
Nurture it, and allow it to shape our lives.
Precisely. And this leads us to what James emphasizes next. Be doers of the word and not hearers, only deceiving yourselves.
Yeah, this is where the rubber meets the road, right?
Yes, exactly.
It's not enough to just nod our heads and say, that's a nice sermon, or what an insightful podcast.
Right.
We have to actually put what we've heard into practice.
Yeah. And that word deceiving is really important here.
Okay.
It highlights the danger of thinking we're good to go just because we've listened to a message or read a passage.
Mm.
It's like looking in the mirror, seeing you've got spinach stuck in your teeth and then just walking away.
Ouch. I can relate to that. But what does this doing look like in practice? Does James give us any specifics?
He does. He contrasts the person who only hears the word with someone who looks intently into the perfect law, the law that gives freedom.
Mm.
Notice the difference right between like a casual glance and focused attention.
So it's about more than just skimming the surface.
Yes.
We need to dig deep, wrestle with the text, and allow it to challenge us and convict us.
And that brings us to a really important point, this idea of freedom.
Okay.
It's not about following rules for the sake of following rules.
Mm-hmm.
True freedom comes from aligning our lives with God's will as revealed in his word.
It's like the word is a map.
Yes.
And it shows us the path to a life of purpose and joy, but we have to choose to follow that map even when it leads us through challenging terrain.
Exactly. And the person who not only hears but does what the word says is blessed in what they do.
Mm.
Their actions flow from a heart transformed by the word.
So there's a direct connection between hearing, doing, and experiencing blessing.
Yes.
It's not about earning God's favor. It's about aligning ourselves with his will, which ultimately leads to a life of flourishing.
That's a great way to put it. But James doesn't shy away from calling out a common pitfall.
Okay.
The danger of hypocrisy.
Mm.
He talks about those who claim to be religious,
right,
but don't bridle their tongues.
Ooh.
Their words betray their supposed faith.
Ouch. That's a tough one, but also incredibly relevant.
Yeah.
It's easy to talk a good game, but living it out is a whole different story.
It is. And James is saying that true religion, the kind that God our Father honors, goes beyond outward appearances or eloquent speeches.
It's about caring for the vulnerable, the orphans and widows in their distress.
Yes.
It's about resisting the corrupting influences of the world, keeping ourselves unstained by its negativity.
It's about aligning our actions with our beliefs. It's about walking the walk, not just talking the talk.
So if we're truly committed to being doers of the word,
yeah,
where do we even begin? It can feel overwhelming, especially when we consider all the areas where we might be falling short.
It's true. The challenge is real, but James offers us a starting point. Remember that image of putting away all filthiness? Well, that includes those harmful attitudes and actions that often trip us up.
Right.
Especially those related to our speech.
And this is something we'll dive even deeper into in the next part of our deep dive.
Yes.
We'll explore James's warnings about the destructive power of an unbridled tongue and his call to cultivate a different kind of speech. One that reflects the transformative power of the word.
We'll also delve into the challenge of living authentically in a world that often values empty words over genuine action. Stay tuned for that.
Welcome back to our deep dive into James 1:1-7:21. We've been unpacking so much in this passage, you know, from the source of temptation to the power of God's word to transform us from the inside out.
And we've been challenged to move beyond simply hearing the word to actually doing what it says to become what James calls doers of the word.
Which, let's be honest, is a lot easier said than done.
Yeah, for sure.
But before we wrap up, there are a couple more points in this passage that I think are worth exploring.
Absolutely. And one that really stands out to me is James's warning about the power of our words. He gets pretty intense when he talks about the danger of an unbridled tongue.
Yeah, he doesn't sugarcoat it, does he? He compares an uncontrolled tongue to a small fire that can set an entire forest ablaze.
It's a powerful image, and it really drives home the point that our words have incredible potential for both good and evil.
And he goes even further, saying that no human being can tame the tongue. He calls it a restless evil full of deadly poison.
Yeah.
Whoa, that's some strong language.
It is, but I think it underscores the seriousness of this issue.
Yeah.
James isn't just talking about a few careless words here and there. He's talking about the destructive patterns of speech that can poison relationships, sow division, and ultimately reflect a heart that's not fully aligned with God.
So what does this mean for us practically? How do we start taming this restless evil within us?
Well, I think it begins with awareness. We need to become more mindful of the words we use, the tone we convey, and the impact our speech has on others.
So it's about pausing before we speak, taking a deep breath and asking ourselves, are my words going to build up or tear down? Are they going to promote peace or stir up conflict?
Exactly. And I think it's also about recognizing that our words are a reflection of our hearts. If we find ourselves constantly speaking negatively or critically or judgmentally, it might be a sign that there's some inner work we need to do.
Inner work like what? What are some practical steps we can take?
Well, it could involve things like practicing gratitude, focusing on the positive aspects of people and situations, and choosing to speak words of encouragement and affirmation.
So it's not just about controlling our negative speech.
Right.
It's about actively cultivating a different kind of speech.
Yeah.
One that's rooted in love, kindness, and truth.
Right. And that leads us to another important point that James makes, the danger of hypocrisy.
Yeah.
He talks about those who claim to be religious but don't control their tongues. Their actions don't match their words.
Yeah, it's that whole talk the talk but don't walk the walk thing.
Right.
And I think it's a trap that's easy to fall into, especially in a culture that often values appearances over substance.
Absolutely. And James is saying that true religion, the kind that God honors, goes beyond outward displays of piety. It's about living a life that's consistent with our beliefs, a life characterized by compassion, humility, and integrity.
It's about letting our actions speak louder than our words.
And that brings us back to the central challenge of this passage, becoming doers of the word.
Yeah.
It's not enough to just hear the word, agree with it, or even memorize it.
Right.
We're called to put it into practice, to let it shape our thoughts, our words, and our actions.
Which, as we've been saying, is a lifelong process.
Yes.
It's not about achieving perfection overnight. It's about taking small steps day by day to align our lives with God's truth.
And it's about relying on God's grace to empower us when we fall short, because we will fall short. But the beauty of God's grace is that it meets us right where we are and helps us to keep moving forward.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into James 1:1-6:21, I wonder what stands out to you the most. What's resonating with you? What's challenging you?
Well, for me, it's the reminder that the word of truth is not just a collection of rules or principles.
Yeah.
It's a source of life-giving power that has the potential to transform us from the inside out.
And that transformation starts with a willingness to listen, to receive, and to put what we've heard into practice.
Yes.
It's about aligning our hearts, our minds, and our actions with God's truth.
And it's a journey that's worth taking.
Absolutely. So as you go about your day, we encourage you to ponder this. How might the truth of God's word, the truth we've unpacked in this deep dive, shape your interactions with others, your choices, and your perspective on the world around you? What small step can you take today to move from being a hearer of the word to a doer of the word?
Those are great questions to reflect on. And we hope that this deep dive has equipped you to not only understand the message of James 1.6, 2, and 1, but to live it out in a way that brings you closer to God and makes a positive impact on the world around you.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We'll be back next time with another fascinating exploration of God's word. Until then, may you be blessed as you seek to be a doer of the word, not just a hearer.